I can see. I just envy you. Babalo.
Good morning, Kay.
How have you been?
I have been doing great. How have you been doing, Kay?
I'm good. Morning, Honorable Brink. Honorable Brink.
Good morning, Kay.
How are you doing today?
I'm well, and you, Chair?
I'm good, too. The CEO of MISA, how have you been? Mr. Zimba.
Morning, Chair. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good. No, I've been attending some of the sessions, Chair. I was there on the study group with Blue One.
What is the study group all about? There's no study group here. Good morning, Lance. How are you, Lance? I'm greeting you. How have you been?
Honorable Chairperson, I am well. I see you are keeping us very busy, Chairperson, until late in the evenings.
Early hours, you must, you see the salary you are earning. You must just end the salary doing nothing, eh?
No, I'm realizing I am underpaid, Chairperson. I'm really underpaid.
You're underpaid now. Councillor Stofile, how are you this morning? Councillor Stofile? How are you this morning?
I'm good, Chair. I'm good. And I can see that you are also good in the Bundus there.
Yeah, the network is good here in the Bundus.
Yes.
Hey, otherwise, are you good?
Yes, I'm good, Chair. I'm good. I'm very well.
I haven't seen the mayor. He has not yet joined, eh? Mayor Foss.
Yes.
No, Chairperson, I'm here. I've been on the road since 6 o'clock. Traveling.
But you're not Yonela Tondo. That's the problem.
Yonela is Yonela.
Are you
Yonela? No, I'm the mayor, John DeFoss.
That's what I'm saying. I wanted to see that DeFoss, but I'm seeing Yonela here.
I joined from the office, not from my own laptop.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I can't see you, Mr. Yen.
Okay. So Yonela is Yon.
Yes, now you are here. I know you are Yonela today. Marco? How are you doing, Marco?
Hi, Chair. Sorry, I'm speaking to myself. I'm muted. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yes, at least I've got the list today.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
I have it with me.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you. Are you good this morning?
I'm very well. Thank you so much.
Okay. I must greet everybody, whatever, everybody who's here, ne? I see there's a lot of you. Hey, Dr. Naidu, how have you been? I haven't heard this voice.
I'm very good, Chairperson. I see you all the time, so, yeah.
It's like you are very consistent. Temba, Fosi, how are you doing, DDG? DDG Fosi, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Chair. And honorable members, it's cold, very cold here, Chairperson.
I also complaining like the COO of Salga. His boss is ready.
Chairperson, Chair is Yonela here. Yeah. We are also under the... Yeah, you're Yes, we are faced with the threat of Eskom also here from 11 o'clock. But we're trying to find out if they can't, we can't negotiate, but load shedding will strike us.
No, let's see how do we go. Don't you have backup? You are in the office. You should have
backup. I didn't know head office did have, but the satellite office did have. they are engaging to see if the ESCOM can delay.
Yeah, no, we'll see how far do we push then. I think we just need to start. I was trying to check my quorum. Let me count. Honorable Jireko, Honorable Brink, Honorable Shaiza. Honorable Hadebe. Honorable Khunivashirin. Do we form a quorum?
Morning, Chair. Yes, we do.
So we can start, ne? Okay, if we do form a quorum, then let us start the meeting. I just want to first welcome this delegation so that we don't waste time. As the executive mayor, Dion DeForce, they said they might experience load shedding. From the Dr. Doyes Nubdi local municipality, we have got Councillor DeForce, mayor, Dr. E. Rangwana, municipal manager, Delphine Stone, CFO, Mr. Gerard Meyer, Chief Audit Executive, Mr. Benny Arendt, Director, Infrastructure Services, and MPEC Chairperson. On the Salga side, I must welcome you, Councillor Bekis Tofile, the NEC member responsible for governance and IGR and international relations. We've got Councillor Goyo, Salga, Eastern Cape Chairperson, the COO, regular Mr. Lance Joel, and then Ms. Komoto Lisati, Chief Officer, Municipal Finance, and Mr. Sonabo, Provincial Director of Operations. And then we, on behalf of the Eastern COCTA, I see Eastern Cape COCTA, we have got the Ms. Robochi, the acting HOD, Mr. Nyatela is the Chief Director, Ms. Suuni is the Director, Ms. Mshava is an acting director, and Ms. Jamjam is the director, and Ms. Timish is the director. The team from AGSA is Ms. Shirin Noble, who's the business executive, Ms. Tracy DeVet, deputy business executive, Mr. Savelo Mavunda, the senior manager, Mr. Stephen Skaber, stakeholder license, and Ms. Hukazi Davantu, who's the stakeholder liaison office. And then to welcome our regulars like Womako, I've welcomed you, CEO of MESA, DDG4C, Dr. Kevin Naidu, the department team. So these are the team that we have. And the rest, the others are our guests. I just want to welcome you all to this meeting. We are about to start with our meeting, and then I should say up front, the report we have received on the state of Dr. Bayas Nodi local municipality paint a picture of a municipality in serious distress. We understand that some of this, including the disclaimed audit opinions received in the last three consecutive financial year, and some of the irregular expenditures is due to the legacy of amalgamation of the municipalities of Tambebo, Ikwezi, and Bavien during the 2016 demarcation process to form one big Dr. Bayas Nodi. Since the inception of this municipality, the municipality has been under severe financial pressure. This also comes clearly in the presentation by the municipality. The thing that struck me is the financial year ending in June 2019. The municipality expenditure exceeded the revenue by 101 million, thus casting doubt on the future of the municipality as a going concern. It's a matter Mayor Force we are concerned with. In the financial year ending June 2018, the AG identified the municipality among those requiring special intervention. So when you look at that, this is how Dr. Zwelin Mkhize, the then Minister of Culture, responded by meeting with the municipal leadership on 25 April 2019 to discuss the support to the municipality in the context of the Back to Basics program of supporting municipalities in distress. In that meeting, the minister commended the municipality for the financial recovery plan it had developed and committed that MISA will provide technical support in terms of refurbishment and the maintenance of municipal infrastructure. The MISA CEO and the Chamber for CS1 and the entire DCOC team, it's now more than a year since that meeting took place. And then by now, is this committee's view that the municipality should have had reasonable progress on the implementation of the financial recovery plan. While the presentation from the Department of COCTA would slide, there's a slide that talked to the financial recovery plan. There's no report on the progress since the meeting of the Milan, the brand, DDG Tembafusi, and the Mr. CEO. But also, it is good that we are noting that MISA is allocated an engineer to the municipality as per the promise of by the minister. While the presentation from the Department of Cooperative Governance devotes a slide in the financial recovery plan, there is also no progress reporters have said. But we also note and appreciate the detailed reports on the nature and the extent of the technical support provided by MISA to the municipality. So when one goes through your presentation as COCTA in SALSA, you also then indicate that you have offered extensive support, Councillor Sofile, to this municipality. And then we note and appreciate that, what yourself and the department has been doing. However, it is worrying that the municipality still showing signs of deep distress despite this in-depth support. Maybe as when we discuss today, you must tell us what is it that makes it to still continue to be in deep distress despite this in-depth support. For some time now, the committee has also been concerned about the enormous financial cost incurred in supporting municipalities versus the benefits received in terms of service delivery to communities. At some point, I think we need to take stock and reflect on the effectiveness of the support provided to municipalities. With these few words, I will plead with Councillor Force. This presentation, I think, has been seated with us since the weekend, if not Monday. And then I think I've highlighted the issues that I feel they are of concern. Can you focus on the matter so that you are able to finish your presentation within the next 20 minutes? Can we do that?
Thank you, Chairperson. No. I think you have in a way tried to summarize most of the things. Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson, for having us in front of the committee. I was nearly at the point of self requesting your committee to invite us so that we can present. I'm not going to go very deep into it, but however, let me just mention, Chairperson, I'm here with my whole team. Let me also say good morning to the whole of the honorable members present in the meeting, as well as SALSA and the entire provincial COCTA. Yesterday, it was 4 years since this municipality was inaugurated under very difficult circumstances on the 18th of August, 2016. Today is the 19th of August. I was supposed to attend my cousin brother's funeral, which is a COVID case, at 9 o'clock by instruction of the hospital. But it's a sacrifice I have to make today and not be part of that funeral. But also today, Jefferson, it was the day when Raymond Grabuse, on the 19th of August 1987, from a small town, Johnsonville, which is part of this municipality, went to the gallows to be hanged. So this presentation is done in the context of all these challenges. I did a presentation to the MEC of the Eastern Cape on the 9th of February 2016, on the day my mother passed away, which I was supposed to go and see, but canceled it so that I can go to the MEC. And after the presentation, when the MEC told me that there's no bailouts, we must get our money, I received a call that my mother, which I was supposed to see on that morning, have passed away. So it is like it is in the nature of us here in prayers that we are presenting on the very difficult days. Notwithstanding that, Honorable Chair, you said you've gone through the presentation. I'm not going to repeat everything which has been already said, but I think it's necessary to just stand at the background. What is not captured in the background of this presentation is the state of affairs when we were inaugurated on the 18th of August, 4 years ago. We found three municipalities, two nearly totally collapsed. The one was already, salaries were paid by the district municipality for 3 months leading up to the inauguration of the council. The one which is Bavians was a total shutdown of service delivery when we were inaugurated because the labor was totally in control, vehicles were closed. So I just want to create that sense in the picture that we understand where we come from and why we are here where we are. Is because when we inherited this municipality, it was two municipalities was nearly at a total collapse. These facts are not captured here, the political state of affairs at the time. There was total chaos. There was no income from equity. The barrier was shut down. As much as there was progress there, there were no staff. Council couldn't meet, vehicles couldn't go around, the keys were in the possession of employees and we couldn't know where to find things. That is the history when we started with this municipality. You see the vastness of this municipality in the presentation. It is nearly half of the total of Sarah Bartman District Municipality, which is now composed out of 7 municipalities. We are having a space of 28,600 square kilometers. And that has also an impact on the operations and functioning of the municipality because of the cost of running the municipality in the vastness and the distances which need to be traveled. The wards and the council is there. It is for everyone to see. You see the different towns there. The background is very clear. It's vast and sparsely populated. There's the 49,000 percentage of the area. The population you see is 82,000. Unemployment important 28%, and 33% of that is youth unemployment. When we go to governance, there's only 2 full-time. It's myself, which is the mayor, and the honorable speaker, the honorable Kembisa Monis. We are operating with a collective executive chairperson, which means it's proportional, it's a composition. There are 2 DA and 3 ANC councillors in that collective executive. On governance, the council is functioning. There are regular committee meetings. Policies have been adopted and the rules and all of those normal things in the council has been done in terms of the governance. We have an audit committee, an internal audit steering committee, as well as an impact committee. The impact committee has done some several trainings since its establishment, although we need some more capacity in terms of strengthening the research capacity and they have staff to assist them in investigating some of the issues they have to do. I believe our audit committee is a very strong one. We have Dr. Mzamo, who was formerly the DDG in the provincial government of Kokta. We have Mr. Danny Delanga, which the names are not appearing here. He was the one who led the Tsarapartman District Municipality to 3 consecutive clean audits when I was still serving there. He is now in the private sector and he's one of those who forms part of our audit committee. Also on governance, at the end, at the long last end, we have a full complement of directors. 3 of these directors have started now August. At the beginning of August this month, we are currently in. The municipal manager is Dr. Rankwana, corporate services is Ms. Kali, director Benny Arons, which you said is MPEG, is not MPEG, is the engineer in planning, honorable chair, community services, Mr. Hermanus, and the chief financial officer is Ms. Koch, which is on compulsory leave, and we have an acting person currently here in the office. So since we started, we have been having challenges of having a full complement of directors. It is now, in the last year of our term, that we really have a full complement, which I believe the processes we followed were thorough, and I believe they will be able to take the municipality forward. When we go to the financial position, Chairperson, as explained there, we have approved our budget on the 13th of July. We are using the Promium financial system, and we have implemented MSCOA. I think the members will understand. We come from 3 different municipalities which have 3 different financial systems. All of these had to be integrated into one system. So there was a lot of verification of information which was supposed to be done and so on, especially in the context of some of these municipalities where there was nothing, which were really at a collapse and others and so on. We have a primary bank account. We have centralized all the finance issues to Graaffreinet, which is the seat of the municipality. Our main concern, however, is the resources which is not available to deliver services, especially the historical financial challenges from our municipalities is of great concern to us. We inherited creditors to the amount of 65.3 million rand. What is not here, it was what was the debtors at the time. The debtors was over 100. And 50 million, if I'm correct. The only debtors from the 3 municipalities, which is not captured here within the presentation. The main creditors, however, was Eskom, Salga, and the Auditor General, which officers. You will see that was the position. Also came to a stop when we amalgamated because somehow, by the grace of God, money would have come somewhere from this new municipality to continue paying the salaries. That is the state of equity at the time. Paviaans municipality, you can see there what you want. I want you to note, you will see the Auditor General in equity 6.5, in the case of Paviaans it's 8.8. And then the other issues, I'm raising it in the context that both these municipalities was ANC and DA run. And you could see that the debts was in both these municipalities. I'm just emphasizing it. You will see the financial systems there and the outstanding creditors. Come the boom, which was the one which was a bit better off, was also starting to go downwards because they never had before. At this time, they were also starting to accumulate debt and so on. So that you could see they only had 14 million when we were amalgamating. So in total, when we amalgamated, that was the amount of creditors we were having. If you look into the next slide, which is assets and current liabilities as of 30 June 2019, Honorable Chair, the figures are showing there very clearly. But I would like to emphasize on the point of liabilities, you will see unspent conditional grounds and receipts 26.4 million rand, and you will see there's a note at the end. This is maybe one of the areas which has brought us to be where we are. That refers to the drought grant as unspent money, which was, I don't know for what reasons it was indicated, or maybe it's perception, that use of the drought money, but that is where the money which is referred to, and which we can account for. As we proceed, on the next page you will see, you see there the ratio of the municipality on the unaudited results of 2019:1, which is not good totally. The municipality has no cash back reserves, honorable chair and members. The main contributor to this of the high creditors is what is the cash flow problems which we are facing. If you see there the creditors, management, the trade creditors outstanding at year end, honorable chair, as you have already in your opening, so 240 million rand. There was an increase of 65 million rand from the 2018-19 financial year, which ended on 175. So it's true what you were seeing from your analysis. There's an increase in our creditors as we go forward. And there you see how we try to manage the creditors, Eskom, SARS, SAGA. You will see that but when you go to the Auditor General, you will see with the Auditor General, the total is 5.6, but when you show where we started, it was nearly 15 million. The reason why that one is like that, it was only the Auditor General's office which came to our rescue to go into a settlement agreement where they said, we won't charge you interest if you pay on time. But the rest didn't bother to come to our assistance. And it's for that purpose that you see the Auditor General's debt has come down to about 5.6 million rand. The next page is an analysis of the income of the municipality. You will see there the total for 2019-20. The billing was 213 million, but you can see what did we receive, 186, which means it's a collection rate of 87.18. And you could see that there's a deficit there in terms of collection. On the next page is the analysis of the income, that is the grants. If you look to the last point, the spend of the allocations, you will see there the total spend on the grants is 99.45, but you will see there at the bottom is the rollover grant, that drought relief grant of 24 million rand, which was rollover, and it has now been spent to 100%, the grant, which means that total drought grant of 30 million, which we received, has been spent, and I can confidently say, if audited today, that grant is spending, you will be able to verify that the amount, full amount, has been spent. So the expenditure of the municipality, Honorable Chair, you see the employee cost there, which is 35% of our total operating expenditure. That 35% is measured based on us collecting. Full collection. But if you go down and you see, if based on the collection we have currently, it might be 43% of the amount which are spending. So our collection rate it may not be a true reflection if you base it only on what we've collected. Then it will be 43%. But if we fully collect, then it will be within the norm of 35%. I think I've already said we approved our budget and organogram has to be reviewed so that we can be cost effective. The remuneration of councillors, you will see there, that is the cost. We only receive 5.7% to assist with both councillors and ward committees. So you will see the cost there and the cost to ward committees in the financial year. The finance cost, that refers to 30.1 million. You will see that can also refer to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We contribute there because we are paying interest because of the cash flow challenges we face. We are unable to pay our creditors within the 30 days, And you can see the amounts of penalties, or rather interest, we have to pay because we are unable to pay our creditors within the 30 days. That is just what the few, the biggest ones, Eskom, SARS, and the others there, which we are paying. On bulk purchase from Eskom, you can see there what is the amount of bulk purchases which we are having for 2019-20 from Eskom. There's a challenge of seasonal tariffs. You will know it's winter now. Eskom has several seasonal challenges, and we have not been hours also on a seasonal. We had a straight cost for electricity for the whole 12 months, and that is one of the challenges we will face. We have a lot of penalties we pay to Eskom because of the maximum demand in Johnsonville, which is being exceeded. It's coming for some time. We've been engaging with no success with Eskom. So we have applied to them to upgrade the maximum demand, but it has not yet been done, and we still engage with them, but we would like any support which we can get from anyone who may assist us. These matters have all been raised with Eskom. We have been since we started here, we have been engaging with Eskom on matters affecting them. That is another expenditure is our operational cost, which amounts to up to over 50 billion rand. In the content, you will see what it is about. It's for chemicals, audit fees, motor vehicle expenses, and the other service charges, and communication, and then traveling and subsistence. I was saying this may be reduced now if we continue using this system of having our meetings. It can save us by having virtual meetings, especially in the context of the vastness of this municipality and the continuous traveling and subsistence claims which you have to incur when you convene meetings. The contracted service mainly relates to security, because we have a lot of vandalism in our municipality, and that is an expense we incur. I'm not so sure. It needs to be, we are trying to address it, but it's something which we need to get the community's involvement. Repairs and maintenance, and then the financial system, that is also another cost for the corporation. Contractors and consultants, those are the expenditure costs which we are mainly having within the municipality. The challenges, as I have already explained to you, you know, the historical credits, that is the 30 million of the, it is the interest which we have to pay. You will see there the monthly expense for salaries is 13 million rand, and our extending creditors is the 31st of March, which amounted to 136 million rand. Then we have a number of redundant prepaid electricity meters which we have to replace, because this can assist us in improving our revenue. There was no cost of supply study in this municipality, so the Sarah Bartman District Municipality assisted us to do such a complete cost of supply study. As you will understand, we came from three municipalities, different rates and taxes were charged and service charges at different levels. So we had to also follow a process to come with a cost of supply study so that we can see how we face in the new tariffs within the new municipality. You will see that we have losses of about 22% in electricity, which we will have to deal with when we deal with all the issues in relation to the metering and Eskom demands. From Eskom also, the Eskom does have cost-saving tariffs, and we requested Eskom to put us within those cost-saving tariffs, but for them to do that, they first want us to pay a deposit to be part of that, as you can see, the cash flow challenges. And then the Johnsonville demand, I've already mentioned it. The issue of the wheeling agreement, Eskom has been using the infrastructure in those municipalities since 1994 without paying a cent. For this, it was only late now on March 2018 that we could have an agreement with Eskom to pay for the services of using our infrastructure. And we are still engaging them to pay from that time they have been using this. But they claim there was a gentleman's agreement, which we don't see. It was verbal, and they have never paid for those things. And we are of the opinion if we can get Eskom to pay for even retrospective from 1994, it can assist us in improving the situation. Unauthorized expenditure, you will see that it says there is the unauthorized expenditure, opening balances, and the current additions is a total of 306 million. That will be investigated by MPEC, which will then follow up in the recommendations to council with the necessary consequences which may be flowing from the investigation. On irregular expenditure, you will see there it's about 165.4 an amount of 79 million related to former Ikwezi, where MPEC and the provincial treasury investigated. This amount was written off by the municipality in the 2019-20. There's another 10 million rand, which will be investigated by MPEC. And then there's additional irregular expenditure, which MPEC will also have to investigate. In all of this, Chairperson and members of the committee, I have to emphasize that we have not... Chairperson, okay, I will proceed. In all of this, I must also, however, emphasize, when we amalgamated, there was a municipality Ikwezi which has disclaimers since 2011-12 financial year. So by the time of amalgamation and we started, there were no records. We could not start with any opening balances. And that had a direct impact on us having a complete audit. I was saying, the last time I talked, I said we were agreeing for a disclaimer. But I think the term agreeing is not correct. The Auditor General was through from the process because of the non-availability of documentation which were in relation to Ikwezi. So the fruitless and wasteful expenditure you will see there is 16 million, and there's an explanation for some of it, which I have already indicated, interest because we don't pay on time, which will also be investigated by Eskom. When it comes to the COVID impact, Jefferson, the pandemic, it has severely affected us, Jefferson, just like many other municipalities. Our revenue levels have gone down. As you could see, we are already stressed, and this can just put us in a more severe situation in the municipality. I think that the figures explain there what is the loss to the municipality. However, I can say when we go to the relief grant, that is the grant we received, that is what we have bought, and that is the unspent. The unspent is because we still await approval for the buying of a refuse truck. We do not understand why are we not allowed to, since other municipalities have been able to do it, but we did approach the MSC's office to assist us here for the spending here. I can say we followed all the procedures and processes to procure, and we are open for any investigation if needs be, to come and see whether we've done the PPE purchase correctly. But I'm confident that can be done, and we did do that. We do have a policy in place when it comes to consequence management. However, we may not mention events there. Just off the cuff, there's a number of things we've done out of our own, by own initiative when we started here. When we came across some tender procedures which we were not comfortable with, and other challenges in the municipalities which were amalgamated, we on our own appointed a forensic investigator to investigate some areas at our own cost, notwithstanding the little resources we have, because we want to deal with issues which may be suspicious and so on. And a report was given to council by the investigator, which report we submitted to council. We asked where we can, but referred the report to the Hawks, which are still to that report. These are what we think itinerant can do, the areas which we need an itinerant, which may assist the municipality to improve its financial situation, is the metering within the municipality, because there were different meters in different places, especially in electricity, and a lot of bypassing of electricity, sometimes even big business doing bypassing within our areas. But what we are dealing with the matter now. If we can get any support, we would be glad. We are not giving up, Honourable Chairperson. We do have hope, but we would need a lot of support if we will get the turnaround in the area. You will see the whole page nearly. It's only to do with the metering of our electricity and the wheeling agreements. These are measures which we think, if implemented, they can assist in improving the cash flow situation in our municipality. Especially the historical debt and the interest on historical debt, Chairperson. You could see in the report how the Auditor General's approach has assisted us because of ring-fencing the debt, and we stick to a payment plan without interest, which brought that nearly 60 million rand down to about 5 million. But in the other areas where we owe, the interest keeps us stuck, and we can't get progress because as we try to pay, the interest continues. So we would really appreciate it if the other creditors can also, just like the AG's office, accommodate us by the interest on those things. I will, Honourable Chair, if you allow, I will just give the audit action plan, I'll give it to the official to deal with it, but you will see most of the things in the audit action plan flows from our historical background. The first one is related to employee cost, which has mainly to deal with the equalization of the municipality. And as you know, some people may not understand, you amalgamate three municipalities, two of those municipalities were grade one municipalities, and one was a grade three. And on amalgamation, it was the new municipality is grade three, which means you have to equalize all those employees from grade one to grade three. What I was saying on other platforms where I have presented, Chairperson, the only benefit out of this amalgamation, bluntly from my own analysis, is the employees who benefited from the grade ones and then the creditors, because since our existence, we've mainly existed to pay salaries and to pay creditors, and we could not, we have tried to keep up the service delivery. And what is worse, if you go to our grants, which was given before the amalgamation and after, you see even there has been a reduction in some of the grants which was received by the individual municipalities. And now that we are amalgamated, there has even been a deterioration of grants received in the thing. So our focus has mainly been to ensure that we can deliver the services as best as we can with the limited resources. But our main focus was on paying creditors and salaries, which is really not what a municipality exists for. We should rather be focusing on delivering service to the people. And it's for that purpose that in our area there is a big pessimism amongst communities, because in some ways even the service delivery have deteriorated in some areas, because we have to increase all the salaries now, but the income has not increased in the same level, because we could not at once implement equal tariffs just all over. You had to phase it in. But you know, boss, you will never be able to phase in salaries. Labor won't allow them. They want to be paid. It's because they say a sweeper in Graaffreinet and a sweeper in Willowmore is the same. So they wanted to have their increase in equalization from the date of amalgamation. And we could not increase tariffs from the date of amalgamation. Our communities would never be able to pay that. So we have to phase it in, Jefferson. You can see in my conclusion, it's very clear we need to revisit our organogram, which is totally unsustainable. We have to sort out the ESCOM agreement in relation to to wheeling and other issues, and then we have to implement some of the cost of supply findings as well as our credit policy without any fear of contradiction. Chairperson, that is brief. Is the presentation and the audit action plan is available. We forwarded it to you. I have already indicated on the matters. I think we are at a point where we have nearly completed the full implementation of the action plan. I was saying to the officials here in my presence, we should not wait because there's some extension for 2 months in submitting our audit. We are very positive. We are able to submit it by the end of this month so that we can use, if there's anything, then we can work on it. I really would ask if you would allow just the CMO or rather Jera just to explain further on the action plan, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much. I try not to disappoint you. I know I may have gone over your 20 minutes. I would really just want to plead with you. Ask for the official to act on the implementation of the audit action plan with your indulgence. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. The chairperson had to go somewhere, and in the meantime, I'll be the caretaker. He has just asked me to preside over while she's engaged somewhere else. So I will give your official at least 5 minutes to present the audit action plan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Good morning to all the members of the committee. Good morning to all the colleagues. So yes, I will be very brief. The Mayor has given a very nice introduction to the audit action plan that will be presented. Essentially, as a summary, the total actions that was in the plan is 26, where 25 has been completed. And one item is, you'll see it's not yet due because that was for, the time frame was right up until the end. It's not yet due, but it is in progress. And as far as the time frames are concerned, yes, from the beginning, from the beginning of the year, we've been working on ensuring that we stick with the deadline of 31 August. And we've done everything in our power to make sure that we will be able to present as at the end of August. The extension is welcome because it essentially gives us a little bit more review time. But as we have discussed with the AG, we will try to get to obviously not wait until the last minute to make sure to give our submissions to the audit committee. I think there's the audit action plan consisted of a combination of easily resolvable items as well as some complex items, but it was a very difficult time, difficult audit in the circumstances by the AG, given the history that was presented by the Mayor. But I must say there has been positive and open communication that we had with the AG during the last 6 months. And we've talked about how we will proceed going forward, and as close as yesterday we discussed with the AG with regards to the opening balances which would be ideal for the AG to look at prior to them bringing the whole team on audit. So we obviously also understand the capacity limitations that the AG has given their time frames that have been shifted, but we have discussed with the AG that the opening balances will commence on the 1st of September prior to them having a full on audit team on site. The draft apps were presented to the reviewers on the 8th of August, and obviously they have now a bit more additional time to review. The audit committee will also commence soon, and we will have the financial statements presented to the AG in no time. With regards to the item, I won't go into too much detail. I just wanted to highlight two additional items to what the Mayor mentioned. It was one item for the employee benefits provision. So at the end of last year, the source documents that was presented to the service provider, the actuaries, there were some issues that the AG picked up. I'm mentioning this because that item alone touches on three different financial statement line items. So we managed to resolve both last year and this year, and very confident that issue has been resolved because, like I say, three items, the employee benefits liability, the finance cost, as well as the actuarial gains and losses would be resolved if this one issue is resolved. The other item that I just wanted to highlight is the Eskom bulk purchases. The same as the previous one, it touches on four different items in the financial statement. So it's the Eskom liability, the bulk purchases expense, distribution losses disclosure, as well as the VAT receivable. So that the issue was that the bulk metering, the municipality does not have those meters, and it's a quite expensive process as I believe. And it's something that cannot be done overnight. So what we've done is we've gotten in the services of a service provider specialist who has done a similar reasonability assessment for other municipalities as well, where the methodology and thought process was accepted by the AG. So that is a similar thing that we've done in our case. And we hope obviously that will be sufficient for we believe it will be sufficient for the AG. And like I say, if those two items alone are resolved, that touches on seven different financial statement line items. So we are very confident with what has been done as far as the action plan is concerned. And we have already, with our open communication with the AG, we've already expressed our willingness and our it's been communicated right through that we will cooperate as far as possible, as much as possible, with the AG to make sure that we move out of the disclaimer. The audit file is, as we speak, it has been, the final touches are being looked at, so that the audit will be very difficult this year, given the lockdown and the distance and the fact that the AG will not always be here, and that's why we have made sure that our audit file will have as much information as possible to make the audit as painless as possible. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Honourable members and deputy ministers, like I indicated earlier on, the Chairperson, she's engaged somewhere else. She'll join us within no time. In the meantime, I'll be presiding over the session. I saw Honorable Hussein has joined us. You are welcome, sir. The last time I checked on the group, Honorable Brink was having connection problems. I'm not too sure whether he has rejoined. But the next presentation that we are going to receive will be from the Auditor General. That will be followed by the presentation from SALGA, and the last presentation will be from DCOG. All this presentation, I will give them 10 minutes each. I think by the time we finish, the chair would have returned. So let us take our next presentation from the Auditor General. If Andy, you would assist in flighting the presentation from the Auditor General. Like I indicated, 10 minutes each. So we are left with 30 minutes of our presentation. Over to you, and whoever is the leader of the delegation will take us through and introduce him or herself.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. And I'd like to introduce our delegation. I'm Tracy DeVette. I'm the Deputy Business Executive from the Eastern Cape Office of the Auditor General. I also want to acknowledge the business executive from our Institutional Cooperation Business Unit, Fazeka Baliso. I've got with me Sabelo Mavundla, who's the Senior Manager responsible for the audit, and I have Stefan Skeppers and Sibokazi Lavantu from our Stakeholder Liaison Office. And I'll switch off the camera so that we can look at the presentation. Thank you very much.
No problem. My apologies. I also forgot to introduce myself. I am Honorable Kweki Hadebe, the acting chair. Please proceed. You can switch off your video. It's okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to present to you on the state of the Dr. Beyers Nodea municipality. If we look at the preamble on slide one, we've just given a breakdown of the Eastern Cape. We have 49 auditees within local government in the Eastern Cape. Within there, we have 33 local, 6 district municipalities and 2 metros. And there are also 10 municipal entities attached to 10 of those municipalities. The entities are classified as small entities and they are therefore not included in the analysis. Also excluded from the analysis are 2 audits that were still outstanding at the cutoff date. So all the percentages that we speak of further down are out of the 37 municipalities that are included in the presentation. We can move to the next slide. That is the representation of all the municipalities, the 37 that I spoke of earlier, over the last 3 years. You'll see that there has been a 3 consecutive years of regressions from the previous year, where we see the purple, which is the qualified auditees, increasing slightly from 11 to 13. The yellow is unqualified. You can see that percentage shrinking. We had 22 at one stage that managed to be financially unqualified. We're now only left with 15. And the most troubling one is the red, which is the disclaimers where we had 4 disclaimers in the first year that we're presenting and then 3. And now in this year, we were left with 8 municipalities that we had to issue a disclaimer of opinion. When we look at Dr. Beyers Nodea specifically, it's been in existence for 3 years, and all 3 those years, we issued disclaimers of opinion. We can move. So if you look at the issue on irregular expenditure, the closing balance of irregular expenditure at the end of the year was 85.6 million. And that is the amount that is reflected in the financial statements. However, the municipality did receive a disclaimer of opinion, and one of the qualifications includes a limitation on that closing balance of irregular expenditure. As the mayor also previously indicated, some of that irregular expenditure did come from the 3 municipalities that were amalgamated into Dr. Beyers Nodea. But the municipality on its own has incurred further irregular expenditure in the 3 years. This year there was 24 million rand, and in the prior year there was 50 million rand of irregular expenditure incurred by Dr. Beyers Nodea municipality. And then the municipality wanted to write off 79 million of that expenditure in the prior year. However, that investigation was not complete by the end of the year. So the municipality should actually not have recognized that as written off. And then we included a limitation on that write-off, and we stated that the closing balance of irregular expenditure was actually understated at the end. I did notice in the municipality's presentation that they did reverse that write-off, and then consequently they've done the write-off in this year. So that will be audited when we return for the next audit. So the reason why the irregular expenditure is actually growing is due to the irregular expenditure of prior years that are not being properly investigated. There's a failure to establish the required system to hold officials responsible, and there's no consequences for transgression. So we need the impact to give urgent attention to this, so that the irregular expenditure, once it's incurred, can be investigated and the correct actions taken. Then we come to the matter of the drought relief unspent grant management. The municipality received a drought relief grant of about 30 million rand. About 5 million rand of that was spent on initiating that grant, those drought initiatives. And at the end of the year, there was an unspent grant recorded. But the amount was not cash back because close to the year end, the municipality had exhausted most of the money in the bank account. So the municipality did receive a rollover, but this means that other sources of income will have to be used to fund that spending on the grant relief initiatives, and not the original grant funding that was received. And as we said, we could not confirm what all the money had been spent on due to the fact that the municipality received a disclaimer of opinion. So we can move on. And then we identified various examples where the leadership of the municipality failed to implement financial controls, and this could have hindered the municipality from delivering services. One of the matters that we noted that also resulted in a qualification on the financial statement was an amount of back pay that was paid out to employees where we could not confirm that that was actually the correct amount that needed to be paid out. We can move to the next slide. And then the financial statements are telling us that the total revenue for the year was 343 million rand, but expenditure was 444 million. So therefore, the municipality then incurred a deficit where expenses exceeded revenue by 101 million rand. The equitable share grant for the year amounted to 83 million, but the salary bill alone was 169 million rand. So the equitable share was not enough to cover the salary bill, and therefore other income had to be used to cover that shortfall. And then we can see that the municipality is struggling to pay creditors as they fall due. If we look at Eskom at the end of the 30th of June 2019, there was 89 million rand outstanding and due to Eskom. That was the biggest creditor that was in the financial statements at that time. In addition, the municipality struggles to collect debt that is owed. About 74% of the debtors are actually impaired. And this, as a result of this, the municipality is then unable to pay creditors, as we noted earlier. And then again, we're just adding that disclaimer that these figures are the ones that are on the financial statements, but due to the fact that the municipality received a disclaimer, we're not satisfied that the figures are all 100% correct. And then I'll just put concluding remarks to say that the limited resources need to be, municipalities have limited resources with which to carry out their legislative functions, and therefore they have to manage these scarce resources and deliver on their mandates. The municipality should strengthen oversight over financial performance and compliance reporting. They should also maintain a proper management system, and further management should follow up on the implementation of recommendations that come from internal and external audit, as this will assist them to address all those internal control deficiencies. Thank you. I'll try to get through the presentation in the time allocated. That brings me to the end of the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Can we then have Salga? You'll also have 10 minutes. The leader of delegation, please introduce your delegation and take us to your presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. We are thankful to be forming part of this continuous discussions of the committee. My name is Becky Charles Stofile, responsible for governance, IGR, counselor empowerment and international relations in SALGA. I'm with Councillor Goyo, the chair of the Eastern Cape, and then Lance Jewell, the COO, and Sonwabo Keke, responsible for Eastern Cape, and who is the one that is going to lead us on presenting on what we are doing as an association in the municipalities in the Eastern Cape. And it must be understood that we are dealing with a situation of putting two graves together and hope that there will be life after putting those two graves together, and they will then perform. And I think Sonwabo can then lead us on presenting on SALGA's perspective on these issues. Sonwabo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Councillor Stofile, and good morning to the honorable members of the committee. colleagues, both from the province and nationally. May I check if you are able to see my presentation?
Yes, we can see your presentation.
Okay.
Please, are you operating it from your side?
I am operating from my side, Honorable Chair. I note that the two presentations that have been made have substantively covered what we had intended to share with the committee in terms of the historical context of this municipality, that it has been established without serious consideration of what each municipality needs in order to be viable and sustainable. As a result, many of its current challenges are flowing from the previous municipalities that were established, and therefore are historical. So I am not going to regurgitate that which has been presented already, both by the municipality and indeed by the Auditor General. So members can engage with that part of the presentation, because it would be basically repeating what has already been stated in terms of what the municipality is currently experiencing. That also includes the matters that the Auditor General has lifted over the past three financial years, and indeed some of them being repeat findings from the Auditor General. And we're quite happy that the leadership of the municipality, and indeed colleagues from the municipality, are honest enough to reflect on those and have actually factored them in terms of the audit turnaround plan that the municipality is implementing with the support of all key stakeholders, including ourselves. Honorable Chairperson and members, I do want to believe that by now the committee is aware that SALGA launched a municipal audit support program whose intention or objective are to assist municipalities to attend to matters that the Auditor General picks up as they undertake audit in municipalities. So the municipal support audit program has four pillars that have already been well canvassed in the committee, and fellow colleagues from COCTA National and Provincial, as well as the AG, are aware of. Primarily, the four pillars are looking at the institutional capacity of the municipality, the financial management aspect of the municipality, the leadership aspect, as well as governance. We are of the view that perfecting these four elements in a municipality will enable a municipality to focus on its constitutional and legislative mandate, and therefore be able to effectively provide services to communities. So to some extent, the work that we've done in the municipality, although it actually includes other aspects of work that we may not necessarily reflect in this presentation, we're geared towards enabling or supporting the municipality to improve on these elements. I also think, and indeed, in the previous term of parliament, we spent substantive amount of time conversing what we call a SALGA, Municipal Support and Intervention Framework, whose primary objective is to rally all of us to work together to provide hands-on support to municipalities and to provide accounting and sort of reports to various oversight structures, but also to engage the legislature, both at a national and provincial level, in order to ensure that when we are being engaged as part of the oversight process, appropriate questions are discussed part of which would mean that it should be expected of all of us that when we account to Parliament, we are able to demonstrate that we've managed to work together. So the Municipal Support and Intervention Framework is essentially about that. We are excited, though, that Parliament is looking at the bill that has been unfinalized for a very long period. So the framework, as it were, looks at what are the critical reports that should inform what we view as what is happening in each municipality. Without really going through all of these seven steps, Chair, it is our view that Section 71 report, Section 72, Section 73, and indeed where there's been evocation of Section 106, as well as quarterly performance reports, are supposed to be the primary sources of early warning system for the sector. And to some extent, or in fact to a greater extent, what we do then to provide support to municipalities should be informed by what is flowing from those reports. In another discussion, perhaps we can spend a bit of time on this in terms of how do we then make sure that all these critical stakeholders have access to these reports. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I do not think that I should go through all of these steps. But for purposes of discussions, I'm sure we can revisit and with the additional support of colleagues that have joined us from SALGA. So what we've done in support of the municipality has been summarized in terms of the following slides. You will all recall that when a municipality is undergoing what is generally called amalgamation, almost everything that exists has to be redone. So at the time this municipality was established, there were about three different organizational establishments. There were three sets of each policy. And there were basically three, or in some cases very few, two employees employed for the same position. So when you basically undertake an amalgamation of a municipality, in this situation, the starting point would be to reorganize the municipality into a single entity. And this is the work that we've undertaken, led by the municipal manager, and indeed working with COCTA and the district municipality. So with your permission, Chairperson, I will basically just highlight work that we've done as a province, as SALGA in the province, to provide support to the municipality, and I hope it will all be understood within the context of a municipality that had to be established from scratch. I'm sure you noted from the executive mayor's presentation that even in terms of tariffs, you had to rationalize them and create a single policy framework, and therefore you had to have a transitional arrangement so that you do not shock the system and you do not create instability in the municipality. So as SALGA, we've contributed working together with partners in terms of the organizational establishment of the municipality. We've contributed in terms of a tedious and indeed very sensitive process of staff placement. We continue to work with the municipality in terms of job descriptions and job evaluation, which is an ongoing issue in the local government sector, because until you stabilize the municipal institutional organizational environment, you are bound to be dealing with issues of job evaluation, task rates, and job weighing. So if we've done some work with the municipality in terms of providing support in terms of this. We've assisted the municipality in terms of recruitment. Yeah.
employer representatives. So as much as we provide support across the board, we do have a mandate to provide hands-on support to municipalities as part of the employer component for the bargaining process. So we continue to work with the municipality. In terms of the financial management, we've assisted municipalities in terms of developing and indeed implementing the audit action plan that has been summarized and well articulated by both the CFO and the mayor. We've contributed in terms of craft training. We continue to provide support to the audit committee and in terms of the municipality, including the oversight component of the municipality. We've contributed in terms of the process of budget assessment and midterm performance reviews. We've played some role, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of providing support to ESCOM. This continues to be one of the serious challenges of the municipality. Regardless of how frank a municipality can be in terms of its state of finances, engaging with ESCOM does continue to be one of the sore points in terms of the sector. We've also assisted the municipality in terms of capacity building on asset management, MSCOA, as well as support and on grant expenditure. It does remain a challenge. We must say that this municipality, like all other municipalities, require a much serious support insofar as ensuring that the little that gets allocated to the municipality is expended. We provided in terms of leadership training, in terms of municipal public accounts committees, and indeed, honourable members, you will be aware that after every election, we roll out a comprehensive councillor induction program. And in addition to that, we actually had an extensive portfolio-based training during this term and provided an option for councillors to enroll in an ongoing online training as part of the SALGA School of Leadership and Governance. So we've also provided some kind of support in terms of councillor support. With respect to governance, as I indicated earlier on, support, hands-on support, and indeed training of public accounts committee has been undertaken. We've provided support municipality in terms of rules, standing rules and orders, training on the code of conduct for councillors, as well as training of ward committees. With respect to I think something went wrong here. Just a minute, sir. And with respect to governance, that is what indeed has been done, Honorable Chairperson. And without spending much of the time, we are presenting or sharing these highlights for the committee to note some work that has been done. And we're hoping that working together with all partners led by the mayor and the municipal manager, we can indeed turn around this municipality to some extent. And indeed, I think there are fundamental questions that must be addressed and that can enable this municipality to be sustainable. Perhaps one of the issues that needs to be attended to is what does South Africa consider to be what a municipality needs in order for it to be viable and sustainable? And that should be the basis that is used to frame redrawing of external boundaries of municipalities. This is not meant to suggest that if you had kept those small separate municipalities, you would have seen sustainability. Not at all. Those municipalities by themselves were not necessarily sustainable. And very lastly, it would be useful indeed for South Africa to have a single municipal support and intervention framework. Thank you very much, Chair. I can hand over with my remaining minutes to Lance Homozo and other colleagues, and as well as Honorable Councillor Stofile to add if there are any additions. Thank you, Chair.
Are you sure you have got a remaining minute, Provincial Director? I don't think so.
I didn't realize your next chair.
I really don't think. The other thing, Councillor Stofile always say I'm from the Bundis. How do you pronounce your surname, P-E-O?
My surname is Gaga.
Eh?
It's Gaga.
Yeah, I won't do that. It's okay.
Yeah, I see. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Can I hand over to Dikok? Chamber for who's dealing with the presentation? Did you?
No, it's myself, Chair. The DG has formally sent an apology to the committee. She has an audit.
The one I read last night.
Yes.
The one I read last night, I realized I didn't make a mistake. I should have read it today.
Yes. Chair, with your indulgence.
I know.
Okay, thanks, Chair. With your indulgence, Chair, just to indicate that there are a few of my colleagues that are joining me, the CEO of MISA, Anne Brewer from NBMC, Kevin Naidu, Bonzo Rafedile, and Muhanuwa Mabidilala, and Rufus. That's the cocktail team.
Okay.
With your permission, Chair, just to request that we have submitted the presentation on time and without going through the whole presentation, because it's 80% or 90% of it will be a repetition of the presentations that have been made. But maybe if you allow me, Chair, just to emphasize three areas of support that COCTA has been providing, including working with the National Treasury. On the financial management, Chair, Treasury has seconded an official to assist with the issues of audit and also the financial recovery plan. And from our side, through the MSIG grant, we have been supporting the Simplified Revenue Enhancement Program, and that program will deal with issues of billing and revenue management. We have also, as part of the billing and revenue management, done a physical verification of about 988 properties to the value of 197 million as part of supporting the municipality just to assist them with the revenue management. In addition to this support, Chair, MISA is also involved in providing technical support. If you move to slide 21, MISA is providing technical support on operations and maintenance, manual for the oil field distribution transformers. They've done needs analysis for smart meters. Also provided support on a voluntary basis on the spatial development framework, working with the district, and also provided technical support on a number of areas, from the reprioritization for COVID of the MIG funded projects to installation of water projects, also upgrading some of the sewer pump stations and reclamation. And all of this support, it's ongoing support, Chair, recognizing the challenges that the municipality is facing. And I must say, in conclusion, Chair, that many of the support that you're providing, it also comes back to the issues of viability of the municipality. Because some of the reports and proposals that would be made, it becomes difficult to implement some of those because of the financial situation of the municipality. But we will continue, Chair, working with the district and then the province and other sector departments to provide sort of targeted support to the municipality. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you so much, DDG. Chamber Fosi. Yes, before I allow members to raise issues with all the four presentations, I think I've got some issues that one needs to raise. The comment in respect to the AG presentation. I should say we are very much worried with the report because you are dealing here with 3 years and then yet your presentation is just some slides. If we compare to what we received for Polokwane yesterday, because we have been using this AG's report as our tools for oversight. But in this case, with regard to, I should believe when we deal with the, and that's the AG, you are going to improve, especially when you deal with the issues of the Eastern Cape. Because if you check on your report, there's no proper background on what has been the issues that caused the disclaimers in the past 3 years, for instance. I don't see the findings on procurement on your report, short as it is. Also, there's no findings on the use of a procurement. And also, then, use of consultants, my apologies. There's nothing there. And definitely, there are consultants that are doing there. And then, also, normally what you do in an ideal AG report, given my SCOPA experience, Honorable Hadeva, I've been a member of SCOPA from 2009. So what are your extensive assessments in the consequence? There's nothing. Also, what is your assessment on the infrastructure issues in the municipality? I don't see anything. And these are key things that your report should cover as the AG. And all these things are not there. So this report actually is not assisting us as the committee to do oversight. So then I'll request the AG's office that you must go back and correct these issues and resubmit the presentation. Because with the report as it is, there's nothing that that is assisting us. The same thing with meeting with OR Tambo on Friday, if not Thursday. I will expect you to also, on that report, I've already seen it as well. It's the same thing. And you can imagine OR Tambo is even worse. You know, it's contributing to almost a large percentage on the irregular expenditure in the entire province. So can we, I should believe, as the AG's office, you use the same format. Because with other reports, like I've given you the Polokwane one and the other ones that we've gone through over the years, these are the matters that we focus on, and they also assist us in doing our oversight. So can I plead with you, Marco, so that this information also the team from the North Eastern Cape, that you address this matter. This is an area of concern on our side as the committee. Be as it may be, can I see members showing their faces who want to interact with the presentation? I told
Hussein, you.
Yes, you see now, it's only Honorable Hussein who's not compliant. I've seen Honorable Hadeva, Honorable Keza, Honorable Hussein, who else? I know Honorable Brink has been having challenges of connectivity. He will be trying to come back. There's an apology also of Honorable Mkaliti. She's still attending the WIPS meeting, WIPS forum, something like that in Parliament. And then, yes, those are the members. So now I'll recognize the three of you. I wonder, Honorable Hussein, what's happening with Honorable Oberman, who has been missing, same with Becky, can you check also on Honorable Tom? Since, yes, Honorable Hussein will be checking on Honorable Oberman just to understand whether they are fine or whatever, because I didn't see the apologies come. But let's just check them as well in the meantime. So, Hadeva, you are the first one. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, and welcome back. No, I think I concur with your sentiment in relation to the report as received from the Auditor General's office. But be that as it may, Chair, there are a few issues that I've noted in relation to that presentation. And I would like to get clarity from the municipality itself, given the fact that they have limited resources. But the report of the AG indicates that when it comes to the drought relief grant, they couldn't spend the grant as allocated. Now, under normal circumstances, when you have limited resources, one would have expected that you would be faced with a situation of over expenditure. I'd like to get an understanding from the municipality. How come you could not spend the entire money that was allocated to you in the form of a drought relief grant? The second aspect in relation to the AG's report, in relation with the back payment, where the AG could not confirm that the accurate or correct amount was paid to the employees. I'd like to get a sense and understanding, how is this possible from the municipality's point of view? How do they pay their employees? Don't they have records to show so that the AG could have it easy for them to be able to confirm? I find it strange that when it comes to issues of payment, you would be struggling with issues of verification when it comes to audits. I don't think, I want to believe that you still pay them using the brown envelope or cash. There should be proper systems in place, even if it's issues of back payment. So I'm struggling to understand that aspect, that you fail to produce records for Auditor General to be able to do a proper audit. The issue of irregular expenditure, they are growing because you are not implementing consequence management. You have not investigated your previous irregular expenditure. I'd like to hear more on that aspect. Given all the support here that has been indicated by SALGA, the support that has been indicated by DCOG, SALGA indicated various supports, your capacity building in a form of your MPEG training has been conducted, your audit committee assisted with capacity building, counselor support, training, and what committee support. COCTA also indicated an ongoing financial support, that they have seconded an official to assist you with audit and financial recovery. Now, check, with all these supports, is it equivalent to disclaimer audit opinion for 3 consecutive years? I'd just like to get a sense from all these entities of department that offered support to this municipality. Is your support being reduced to disclaim audit opinion for 3 consecutive terms? What is it that needs to be done in order for us to be comfortable in saying indeed what you are offering as support is yielding positive results? The presenter from SALGA has articulated clearly to say, when you appear before Parliament to account, you must be able to demonstrate that indeed you are able to work together as entities. Now, what we have before us indicates a disclaimer or the opinion. Surely there must be something that is not telling. Which leads me to my question, Kate, whether or not in retrospect the decision to amalgamate these 3 municipalities, Councillor Stofile said we were amalgamating 2 dead bodies with the hope that they will give life. He reminded me of math when I was in high school, when you multiply a negative, you get positive. So perhaps those right envisage such amalgamation and saw this as a mathematical problem. But in honest chair, I'd like to get a sense from Sauda whether or not, in retrospect, the decision taken to amalgamate was an incorrect decision, or it was a decision that was not backed with necessary support. And if so, moving forward, what would they advise the powers that be in dealing with similar situation, issues that needs to be taken into account when a decision to amalgamate municipalities is put on the table? Is this a lost case? Should we continue with the hope that things will get better with times? A report at our disposal indicates a very bleak and future. We see a light in the tunnel, but we don't think it's hope. We understand and believe that it's a train coming, so one needs to take a cover. But Salga, can they be able to put us at ease with their honest and assessment into the status quo, whether or not things will change in future? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hadeven. Honorable Hussein.
Chair, thank you very much. I'm just trying to adjust, doing a little adjustment. May I just say, Chair, my apologies firstly for joining late, which is why I didn't submit the apology for Councillor, Honourable Liesel Opperman. So she's unfortunately not able to join because she's had some other engagements. When I listened to the presentation, there's a part of me that wished that I didn't join, to be quite honest with you, which after listening to what we've heard, there really is a part of me that said maybe it was better if I wasn't online. Because the situation there, Chair, in Bears, Nodia, it's bad. I mean, I think the members of our portfolio committee will know that we've dealt with quite a few municipalities in over a period of time. But this one, this is a basket case, Chair. And I want to appeal to you, Chairperson, please, man, you mustn't bring these basket cases so early in the morning for us. I don't think it's good for our health also.
What?
Really, I mean, it's depressing, Chairperson. You sit and listen through this, what's going on there in this municipality. There's no water. People are struggling without having water. Eskom is disconnecting because they're not paying. There's sewer running into the rivers there, the Sundays River. You'd recall, Chair, I raised this municipality also in during the budget debate when I talked about the 25 million rand drought relief that have disappeared in. Even the AG can't find it. I don't know if we've seen a worst-case scenario than this one. And you know what the most concerning thing about it? I mean, and there's more. The AG says there's no consequence management. There's 101 million rand over expenditure. I mean, you get paid, you have X amount of money, you know how much of money you got, but you spend 101 million rand more than what it is. And yet you've got a CFO. So as I was saying, that when you amalgamate the municipality, you've got, in some cases, twice the number of officials that you've got. So you're paying twice the amount of money, but you get even, you know, less than half of the job that needs to be done. The municipality can't even collect the money that's owed to it. So, I mean, and there's more and more examples. You can go on for the next an hour. But when I listened to the mayor and the municipal manager, you know, I thought to myself, these people speak like proud peacocks here, as if like everything is fine and we're doing this, and they sound so convincing. But the reality on the ground, it's a mess. This is a basket case. I want to ask the mayor and the municipal manager, why are you still the mayor there? I mean, I don't know, you are the mayor of what? What are you mayoring? Because nothing is getting right there in that municipality. And then, Mr. Mayor, I want to ask you, why haven't you even fired this MM yet? Because doesn't he have a contract? Why do you even have that CFO? These people have responsibilities based on their contract. They have a set of duties. We are still paying them money from the people who are working hard to pay their salaries. And the situation is not getting better. I mean, I worked out quickly, 355 million rand irregular expenditure over 3 years. And what does the Auditor General say? During the 2018-2019 period, we identified various examples where the leadership of the municipality, has failed to implement the discipline of financial controls. So who's responsible? The leadership. Why are you even there? And I want to ask Chair, I don't know whether the Deputy Minister is online or the Minister is online. Please, for God's sake, can we get rid of these people? Because it's not working. Start afresh. I mean, it's a waste. We're throwing good money after bad. We're paying all of these people there to give us more grief early in the morning. I can only imagine what's going on in that municipality and the minds and the people who live there in that municipality. I feel sorry for them. Really, it can't get worse than this. And because there's no consequence management, that's why. They get paid their salaries every month. The mayor will go back to his job just now after we finish with this portfolio committee. Nothing's going to happen to him. The MM will still get paid at the end of the month. Nothing's going to happen to him. He came here and he convinced us and he spoke proudly about what they are doing. Nothing's going to happen. So the only thing that can change the situation around Jefferson is those people who are living in Bayes Nodier municipality. My advice to them is drive these people out of that municipality. A whole lot. The councillors too, because their job is to look after the residents who live there and their money and to protect their interests. But even the councillors are not doing it because they say no oversight. Even the councillors are not conducting oversight. Why do we still even have this municipality, Chair? I just don't know. So, I must maybe just stop there because I'll get even more depressed. And maybe just ask one question, please. Can somebody just explain to us what has happened to the 25 million rand of the drought relief that the AG can't find? Where is it? Is anybody trying to find it? Is it gone into somebody's pocket? But is there some explanation for what has happened to the 25 million rand? And Chairperson, please, I ask you again, don't bring these basket cases here too early in the morning. These people must go. They are wasting our time. Let's find new people there. Thank you. I'm sorry if I sound angry, but I'm sure you will appreciate why I'm angry given the situation that's there.
Okay. They will have to talk to it as well. Let's talk to Honorable Kaiser.
Thank you very much. It is indeed a crisis at crisis point, Chairperson. Greetings to the honourable members of the committee and the Chairperson. Chairperson, if you allow me, I would have quick opening remarks in terms of the state of local municipalities. Local municipalities represent an important sphere of government because it is in the coal face of the communities. So whenever you find individual cases like these, it is the people that are at the center of the suffering. Massive structural deficiencies and incapabilities defining local government. Chief amongst them is the division of revenue process and funding of municipalities. The manner in which municipalities are funded reproduce the structural and spatial inequalities that existed prior to 1994. Local government is designed in such a way that all citizens have proper employment, a stand, house and all basics, and therefore be able to pay rates and taxes which will sustain the municipality. And we can see that in this case we have 28% of the unemployment in the municipality, and I do not know, my question being how is the municipality going to get around collecting sufficient revenue, given the fact that there's 28% of unemployment in that municipality. Majority of municipalities are incapable of generating own income, due to the high levels of unemployment, poverty, and lack of economic activities in their localities. This area needs to be reconceptualized with an aim to driving a developmental agenda and program which will bridge the gap between the rural and the urban municipalities. The municipality dependency on conditional grants, which local government must apply for funding from the province and national government, is not sustainable mechanism in a politically polarized environment, because those who are in control of conditional grants often use them to pursue narrow political agenda and program, and to reinforce fading political fortunes. Chairperson, I've done this opening remarks deliberately because the picture here, as Honourable Hussein has eloquently put it, that it's quite very very bleak. When I went to the presentation, I often ask myself, so what is the proposal? So what is the proposal? What is the proposal? What are they proposing? You know, because they are crying out loud, this and that. For instance, there's a slide, they are talking about insufficient revenue collection, faulty meters and unsustainable salary bills due to amalgamation. And it's them who agreed on the amalgamation, and it's a year since the amalgamation. So what is their solution?
4 years. It's 4 years, honorable.
It's 4 years. We're getting a three-year report here of the findings of the AG. It's a long time, Chairperson. I would have, if it were me, I would have had a 100-day report to the community as to what are my envisaged plans to recover and to make sure that the inherited municipalities that are dysfunctional, I have a plan about that in terms of together with the department and COGTA, and SARGA and so forth. I think that I would have had, because I try to find a solution, ask myself, what is the solution? Chairperson, the community of Atendorp residents said that their refuse has not been collected. In Stainclerville, Jansenville, Kleppland, one truck was serving. I do not understand this, Chairperson. One truck serving four particular areas, and how many trucks are in their municipal technical services, and how many are functional, and what is the status quo of capacity in terms of delivering services as you can see that our people are struggling to get services there. I wanted to ask National COGTA, in terms of back to basics municipal recovery program of supporting municipalities in distress to improve their functionality, what details can they provide to us in terms of what has been done with regards to basic? That's the question to COGTA. And I wanted to ask in terms of the AG's report, Chair, about accruals, how much they have accrued, and what measures are in place to ensure that the accruals are resolved, because there's 102 million accrued. So I would want to ask if I have a 1,000 rand budget and I have accrued 500 rand in the next coming year, that will be recurring like that. And how do you solve that situation? If you do not have capacity to even collect revenue. In terms of interministerial testing, the ITT, has this situation been tabled there before the ITT to deal with the debts owed to Eskom? And what is the proposed intervention in this regard? If there was an intervention, what has been done to meet these challenges? The other issue is pertaining to the dam that Ngweba Dam. Last year, the residents of Graaf-Reinet have been complaining about the drought, and the drought relief money for the municipality, only to discover that 24 million is missing. The Auditor General Kimi Makwetu expressed grave concern about over 24 million of drought aid to the Dr. Bears Nodier that cannot be accounted for. The AG said he could not determine what the money was spent on, as no records have been kept by the municipality for the period under review. And there are allegations from the Graaf-Reinet